You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Treyasar podcast. Last week, in our continuing discussion of the Book of Yonah, we discussed a few different explanations as to why Yonah ran away from Hashem's request, his command, that he prophesied to the city of Nineveh. To briefly review, right, one, that he did not want Bnei Israel to look bad, right, since they did not repent while the city of Nineveh would, or two, that he did not want to be responsible for the repentance and therefore the continued existence of Ashur, right? The city of Nineveh is a city in Ashur, who would ultimately be the enemy who would destroy and exile Malchut Yisrael, as well as destroy large parts of Malchut Yehuda, right? Or, lastly, that he was afraid that if he predicted Nineveh's demise, and they ended up doing tshuva, and therefore their demise never came, then he would be labeled as a Navi Sheker, right? You said that they were going to be destroyed. They weren't destroyed. You must be a Navi Sheker. All of these explanations are based on the assumption that Yonah assumed that the people of Nineveh would actually repent, right? An assumption which is actually proven correct in the third chapter of the book, in Perek Gimel. It's important to note that something of an explanation of whatever it was that Yonah objected to or was fearful of is expressed by Yonah in Perek Dalet, right? Yonah, by that point in the story, has prophesied to the people of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh have repented, and Yonah is not happy. And it says at the beginning of Perek Dalet, Vayira el Yonah, ra'a gedola vayichar lo. Right, this is very bad in Yonah's eyes that the people have repented, the people of Nineveh, and he is angry. Vayitpalel el Hashem, vayomar, ana Hashem, halo ze devari ad hayoti el admata. Right, this is what I've been saying all along, Yonah says to Hashem. Al ken kidamti livroach Tarshisha. This is why I ran away to Tarshish. Ki yadati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erach hapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'a. Right, this is why I ran to Tarshish, Yonah says. Right, because I knew that this would happen. I knew that that you are a compassionate and forgiving God who would forgive the people in Nineveh. Right, and all of the commentaries that we've looked at so far, right, all explain why it was so bad in Yonah's opinion that they would repent and that God would forgive them. So the truth is, the pasuk that we just read from Perek Dalet doesn't really mention explicitly the repentance of the people, just that Hashem is compassionate and that's why he ran away. But all of these commentaries assume that what Yonah is saying here, I knew that this would happen. I knew what I just witnessed a couple of psukim ago, that the people of Nineveh would repent, is what would happen, right? They would repent, and you would forgive them, because you are a compassionate God. Another idea discussed at length, right, a different explanation than the ones we've looked at up until now. This is an idea that's found, for example, in Rav Yehoshua Bachrach's book on Yonah, right? He discusses this at length. It's also suggested by a number of other modern academic Bible scholars that Yonah is running away as a protest, not against, not because the tshuva of the people of Nineveh would somehow bring in its wake something bad, but rather he was running away as a protest against the idea of tshuva, right? It can't be, or it shouldn't be, right? Yonah is saying, according to this explanation, that a person does a chet, right? That a person sins, and that sin is atoned through tshuva. Right, Bible scholars such as Yecheskel Kaufman see the book of Yonah, right, which is actually a counter against this idea that Yonah has. Right, the book itself does not agree with Yonah. Right, God does not agree with Yonah in this book. He sees the book of Yonah as an expression of the idea of atonement in Israelite tradition. Right, that is opposed to the surrounding pagan notion that sin can only be atoned for by punishment, right? The tradition of Am Yisrael is that tshuva can atone for sin, right? There are other ways that one can atone for sin, right? And this makes a lot of sense, right? You can understand this. You can understand the Book of Yonah according to this explanation. And as an aside, it also is a nice explanation as to why we read this book on Yom Kippur, right? After all, Yom Kippur is the day of tshuva, so it's a book that encourages the idea of tshuva, that tshuva is a legitimate way to be atoned for wrongdoings in the past. Another Bible scholar, Uriel Simon, right, who I've quoted previously in these podcasts, also brings this explanation, but then he notes that if this was Yonah's main objection, right, the objection to the legitimacy or the effectiveness of tshuva as a means of atonement, then it's not a theme that really appears throughout the book, right? The only time we actually see anybody doing tshuva is in chapter 3, when Yonah eventually gets to the city of Nineveh and the people do tshuva, right? But that's really the only time it shows up. Now, one could argue that that's enough, but there's a lot of other things going on in the book which have nothing to do with that. A theme which he suggests, which is definitely a related theme, but a theme which Simon suggests does appear throughout the book, and according to his understanding, is what Yonah was objecting to, is not the effectiveness or the legitimacy of tshuva, but rather the justice of Hashem utilizing rachamim, right, midat rachamim, compassion, in dealing with those deserving of punishment, right? Because ultimately, according to Yonah's reasoning, according to this theory of how we're supposed to understand his actions, a person who is the recipient of Hashem's rachamim, of his compassion, and in the end does not get punished, is not really getting what they deserve, right? This is not the way the world should be run. If somebody does something wrong, then Hashem should deal with them accordingly, right? And rachamim shouldn't be part of it. This theme, right, the theme of Hashem's compassion, is a theme which runs throughout the book, right? Even in the chapters where the theme of repentance is missing. For example, in the story of the Kikayon at the end of the book, right, in Perek Dalet, and you can go and take a look there to see this inside, Hashem's argument of why he should spare Nineveh, and for that matter, why he should care about the Kikayon, has nothing to do with tshuva, right? But it has everything to do with Hashem's compassion, right? Trying to convince Yonah that compassion is the correct way to deal with at least some things in this world. And if you look again at Yonah's words to Hashem, his prayer to Hashem at the beginning of Perek Dalet, right, that is precisely what Yonah is talking about there, without the need to assume other things in his words, right? Again, what does it say there? This is why I ran away to Tarshish, Yonah says, Ki yadati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erech hapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al ra'a. Right? I knew that you were a compassionate God who forgives evil. Right? Yonah, in these words, does not really address the issue of tshuva, although, you know, again, as we explained earlier, you can assume that that's what's behind what he's saying. But really, in the words themselves, it's the idea of midat harachamim that Yonah is explicitly addressing. You might have noted that the pasuk that that Yonah says to describe Hashem here, ki yadati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erech hapayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al ra'a, is one which is, you know, in a slightly different form, very familiar to us, right? This is what Moshe says to Hashem after Chetah Egel, also invoking these qualities of compassion in God in order to forgive Am Yisrael. But of course, the formulation that we are most familiar with is slightly different from what we have here, right? How do we say it, right? Read it both from Sefer Shemot, but also repeat it over and over again in the Slichot, in the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, right? Hashem, Hashem, El Rachum v'Chanun Erech Hapayim v'Rav Chesed ve'Emet, right? So one is tempted to make note of the fact that Yonah's version of this description of Hashem differs from our more familiar version, right? And tellingly, the difference lies, the most significant difference lies that instead of saying ve'emet, right, that you are a God of truthfulness, Yonah says v'nicham al ha'ra'ah, and you forgive evil doing. Right, so one might be tempted to think that Yonah is purposely hinting, right, that Hashem is not a God of emet, right? Again, don't forget these are the words coming from Yonah ben Amittai. Right, Yonah sees himself as the protector of truth, or at least his name might be a play on that aspect of his personality. Right, and he's trying to emphasize here that Hashem is not a Hashem of emet. He does not run his world according to emet, but rather he is a God who is nicham al hara'ah. Now the truth is, right, Yonah is not the only one to use this nusach. Right, it's also used by the Navi Yoel. So you cannot claim that this is purely a result of this girsa, this version is purely a result of Yonah's protest. Although it is also worth noting, right, that when the Navi Yoel uses it, it is in the context of extolling the greatness of Tshuva. So perhaps Yonah is using this girsa, this version, ironically, right, as a criticism of what his colleague Yoel sees as a good thing. Right, Yoel sees tshuva as a good thing, Yonah sees it as a bad thing, and they each use it in order to express their own thoughts on this matter. As an aside, I want to remind you of what we saw in previous podcast about the reference to Yonah ben Amittai in the book of Malachim Bet in Perek Yudalad. Right, you recall, maybe we talked about this previously, that there it says that Yonah was the Navi who prophesied during the time of Yeravam ben Yoash, right? And that the prophecy had to do with the fact that despite the fact that Yeravam ben Yoash was a bad king in the sense that he did not follow Hashem or his laws, he nevertheless was a very successful king, right? He expanded the borders, and the psukim there say explicitly, and this seems to be what Yonah was prophesying about, that this was because Hashem had compassion on Am Yisrael, right? Hashem didn't want to destroy Am Yisrael at that point, and had compassion on them, and therefore, despite the fact that Yeravam and other members of Am Yisrael were chotim at that point, Hashem did not destroy them. So we see him, Yonah, there prophesying, right, that Hashem has compassion on Am Yisrael despite their behavior. We don't hear in that context what Yonah thinks, right, what he thinks about this prophecy that he has to say during the time of Yeravam ben Yoash. But it is interesting that what he's prophesying about there seems to be, according to this last theory, exactly what's being addressed in the book of Yonah itself, right? So perhaps we can guess that Yonah saw in that prophecy mentioned in Yudalid of Malachim Bet, he saw the futility or perhaps the mistake, right, of having compassion on the people who are not going to stop sinning, right? Why keep helping out the one who keeps doing something wrong, right? In the end, it's not going to get them to improve their ways, right? So perhaps, again, it's interesting, we could see a connection between that prophecy and our understanding here of Sefer Yonah, just like we saw the connection between that prophecy and other theories of how to understand the book of Yonah. It is in the context of seeing Yonah in this way, right? Seeing him as the Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi HaEmet, the one who believes that the world should be run by Emet, by Din, not by Rachamim, that he is often compared to Eliyahu HaNavi, who also believed the same thing, right? Did not, and this is not the time to do an entire study of the stories of Eliyahu, but there too we see the Navi not understanding Hashem's compassion for a people who are sinning in all sorts of ways. And there are many parallels between Yonah and Eliyahu, right? This idea is expanded upon by many before me. It's among which you can find many sources on this found in Rav Bachrach's book, which I mentioned earlier. And just by sitting down and comparing the two men, reading the texts of them in Tanakh and comparing them. I'm not going to do that right now, partially because it's been done before and because our time is somewhat limited. There is one interesting source I would like to look at, which both connects Yonah to Eliyahu, and also, although it doesn't say it explicitly, clearly seems to be saying that this is what Yonah is advocating, that he truly believed that the borders between those who sin and those who do not, that sinners should be punished, whereas tzaddikim are the ones who are not punished and have... That is his main issue, his main message, is found in a very interesting, an interesting midrash. It's a midrash in Midrash Tehillim on Mizmor Kaf Vav, and on the pasuk Al Te'esof Im Chata'im Nafshi. There in the Mizmor, the person is saying, right, do not gather my soul with those who sin, right? Which means basically, I don't want to die together with those who have sinned. Right, and it brings also all sorts of examples to kind of illuminate what exactly this means, and then it brings the example of an interesting story found in Malachim Bet of the tomb of Elisha Hanavi. In that story, there is a man who dies, and he is kind of thrown quickly, because of, you know, the war that is going on at the time, into the tomb where Elisha had been previously buried. The pasuk says, "Vayiga," and this is also a quote from the midrash, "Vayiga ha'ish ba'atzmot Elisha vayichi vayakam al gav." Right. So this person who was buried, he, I guess, when he kind of like rolled into the tomb, touches the bones of Elisha, and he lives, and he kind of gets up and walks away. I mean, the story itself is a great story which deserves attention, although not in this podcast. Although we see here again Elisha, who previously revives those who are dead, doing it once again, even after he himself is dead, right? Showing the greatness of the Navi Elisha. The Midrash is paying attention to this idea that he walks away, that this man is, you know, comes back to life and he walks away. Tani al raglav amad ulevetol lo halach. Right, this person did not go home. Right, he didn't resume life as before. Ella met v'nikbar b'makom acher. Right, he simply died again and was reburied somewhere else. Mishum she'ne'emar al te'esofim chataim nafshi. Right, this is going back to the pasuk in the Mizmor that this midrash is addressing. Right, what is happening here? This person had to basically be taken out of the tomb, the grave of Elisha, because, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, right, that the ones who have sinned should not be die along with me, should not be gathered to death along with me, and we will see this in the continuation of the midrash. It seems that this person was not worthy of being buried together with Elisha, right, and therefore he had to kind of like be moved, right, and you know the most logical way for him to be moved is that he would come back to life and walk himself to some other place to be buried. Umi haya. Ze benashel Shunamit, right? Who was this person who was thrown in with Elisha and then had to be moved to elsewhere? The son of the Shunamit. Shine'emar ve'igdal ha'yelad v'hi ha'yom ve'yetzei el aviv. And meaning, who was this person? This is the very child who Elisha had revived, had brought back to life, you know, previously. Ve'hashlicho oto b'moto Pam shniya bekever Elisha sheichye, v'chazar v'chaya, v'kam v'met. Pam shlishit kavruhu b'makom acher. Right? So he had died, and they threw him in with Elisha, and he was revived, and he was buried somewhere else. V'lama met, and why did he die? Lefi shehaya rasha. Right, because he was bad, right? And this all ties into this idea that he couldn't stay in the grave with Elisha because he was a Rasha, as opposed to Elisha, who was a Tzaddik. Aval ben Tzarfat ha'amalna, right? But the son of Tzarfat the Almana, right? That Tzarfat ha'amalna is the woman in the parallel story with Eliyahu, where Eliyahu revives the son of this woman when he goes to the place called Tzarfat, right? So here the Midrash is contrasting the son of the Shunammite with the son of Tzarfat, right? As opposed to the son of Shunammite, who was a Rasha, the son of Tzarfat Almana was a Tzaddik, right? And this was who? Yonah ben Amittai. Right, this was Yonah, the son of Amittai. Hayat Tzaddik Gamor. Right? So, interestingly, the Midrash identifies the son of Tzarfat Almana with Yonah ben Amittai. And he was a complete Tzaddik. Nitzraf bivliat dagim uvimitzulot yamim velomet. Right? That he was the one who was purified by being swallowed up by the fish and thrown into the sea, and he did not die. Ela vayomer Hashem ladag vayakeh et Yonah el hayabasha v'nichnas b'chayav b'chvodo legan Eden. Right, that he didn't die. Rather, Hashem had the fish, spit him up onto dry land, and he went into Gan Eden alive. Right, something considered, only tzaddikim. Something that only tzaddikim do. What is interesting here, first of all, one notes the connection between Eliyahu and Yonah here. But what is particularly interesting is that Yonah here is being brought as the contrast to the Chote, right? As opposed to the Chote, who, according to this pasuk in this Mizmor, is the one that the speaker of the Mizmor does not want to be buried with, or does not want to be die together with. The Ben Ashunamit, that's the example of someone who is the Chote, right? About whom the speaker in the Mizmor is talking when he says, Al te'esof im chataim nafshi. Yonah is brought here as the contrast to this, right? He's the one who's not like that, right? He's the tzaddik, right? He's the one who you do want to be associated with in death, right? Because he is the one who is the tzaddik, the one who is a tzaddik gamur. This theme of what the tzaddik gamor is, right? In other words, this quality that is being associated with Yonah is even more interesting when you look at the Mizmor itself in its totality, that is being spoken about here. Right, the Mizmor says, right, again, Mizmor Kaf Vav. LeDavid, Shafteni Hashem, Ke'ani betumi halachti, uvaHashem batachti lo emad. Right? Judge me, he calls out to Hashem, because I always was with you. Right? Ani betumi halachti b'Hashem. In the words of the Midrash, I am the tzaddik amor. I am the one who walked always with Hashem. Bechaneni Hashem v'naseni, tzarfachi liotai v'libi. Right, test me, Hashem. Right, you can test me, refine my insides. Right, my heart. Right, this is connected to again what was said about Yonah in the Midrash, that he was refined through what happened to him in the sea and in the fish. Ki chastecha leneged einai vehitalachti ba'amitecha. Right, I walked with your truths ba'amitecha, Yonah ben Amittai. Right, connection there. Ki chastecha leneged einai. Right, here we have the idea of chesed, which seems to be in contrast to Yonah. However, right, if you remember the context, first of all, there are those who say that there are many parallels in Tanakh between the words chesed and emet, and that they're not contrasts, but they're actually synonyms. But even if you see chesed as the term, that we generally think of as chesed, God's kindness is compassion. But here it's chesed for the one who doesn't sin, right? So it's not rachamim in the sense of having compassion on someone despite their being bad. It's having kindness for someone because they are good. Lo yashafti im miteshav, ve'im na'alamim lo avo. right? I didn't sit with bad people of any sort, dishonest people, right? I was always with the tzaddikim. Sineti kahal mera'im v'im rishayim lo ashev, right? I'd never sat with the kahal, the congregation of those who do evil, right? I did not sit with people who are wicked. Erchatz b'nikyon kapay v'asoveva et mizbachacha Hashem. I wash my hands with cleanliness. And I come to your mizbeach. This is interestingly also similar to things found in Yonah's prayer, which we haven't actually spoken about yet. Lishmoa bekol toda lesaper kol nifloatecha. Right, in order that I can come and proclaim. Right, to say a tefillah of todah of thanks, and to speak of your greatness, of your wonders. Hashem ahavti ma'on beitecha u'mekom mishkan kvodecha. Right, I love the dwelling of your house. I love being in the place of Mishkan Hashem, where Hashem resides. Al te'esof im chataim nafshi v'im anshei damim chayai. Right, do not gather, this is the pasuk for the Midrash, do not gather my soul with sinners, with men of blood. Asher b'yedehem zimav yiminam mal'ash shochad, right? Those who are full of all sorts of bad things. And then the mizmor ends, v'ani b'tumi eilech p'deni v'chaneni, right? I walk b'tumi, you know, with my pureness, my sincerity, right? Redeem me and be gracious to me because I am this tzaddik, right? Ragli amda b'mishor b'makelim averech Hashem, right? I have walked on the straight path, right? I have only done good, right? And I bless Hashem, right? In the makela, right? In the kihila, in the congregation, the assembly, right? So the person who is being described here, right, is the tzaddikamor, is the one who, according to the Midrash, is Yonah ben Amittai. Rather, Yonah ben Amittai personifies this type of person. And this fits exactly with what we understand about Yonah according to the last explanation of trying to understand Yonah's behavior, right? Why he runs away, why he does not want to prophesy for Hashem, right? Because he doesn't think that Hashem should deal with Rishaim in the same way that he deals with Tzaddikim, right? Rishaim should be punished while Tzaddikim should get reward, or should be the recipient of Chesed and Rachamim. It is interesting, of course, going back to the Midrash for a moment, right, that it is Elisha who revives the one who is not the tzaddik, right, the Ben Hashunamit, while Eliyahu revives the Ben Tzarfat, who is the tzaddik gamor, Yonah ben Amittai. Because Eliyahu, as I already mentioned, is like Yonah, right? He believes that only tzaddikim should be rewarded and should be dealt with rachamim, as opposed to Elisha, who is the replacement for Eliyahu, right, who replaces Eliyahu because he had certain qualities and understood things about the way Hashem runs the world that Eliyahu did not want to accept. And so it is very appropriate that Elisha is the one who is able, willing to revive the one who was not the tzaddik, while Eliyahu is the one who only revives one like Yonah ben Amittai, the one who is the tzaddik more, because only such a person, according to Eliyahu, according to Yonah, should be revived in the first place. With that, we're going to conclude today's podcast on Yonah. The next podcast, we will finish up with the Book of Yonah, see how this theme goes throughout different parts of the book. And with that, we will conclude our studies of Sefer Yonah for this podcast series. Looking forward to seeing you next week, or teaching you, not actually seeing, next week. And in the meantime, Shabbat.